the God who still speaks to us. If only we have ears to hear. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me. How many people believe that? No. It may have been the thing that we chanted in the playground, but as we've got older, we realize it's just not true. It's just not true. And all of us have at some stage been hurt because of something that's been said, or maybe because of something that hasn't been said. All of us have felt that pain, and that pain is often slower to heal than a broken bone might be. Words. Often we have used them to hurt. Words. From lovers whispering sweet nothings to each other to a sergeant major barking out orders on a parade ground. Words affect us. Words have an impact on us. Words can either tear us down or build us up. Words can either hurt us or heal us. Words can manipulate us, or they can shape us and mold us. But whatever way it is, words are powerful. And that's probably why there are more individual proverbs in this book of Proverbs about the tongue than about any other topic. As you read through the book of Proverbs, there's more about the danger and the power of words than there is about anything else. And the truth is that every day, every time we open our mouths, we reveal something of who and what we are to those who hear our words. Words. Sometimes we talk about empty words. The truth is, words are not empty. They're powerful. Let me just read through those two little short passages again that Andrew read for us. From Proverbs 10. He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. So many of these truths about the words that we speak, the things that we say. And in chapter 13, verse 2 and 3, from the fruit of his lips a man enjoys good things, but the unfaithful have a craving for violence. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. He who guards his lips guards his life. Andrew, could I have the laptop back on again? Guarding our lips, guarding our lives. This ability to control our tongues seems to be one of the clearest marks of wisdom. And it's not just an Old Testament thing. When you go through to James, James has a whole section of his letter, a very practical letter about how we live and operate together. And James simply says, if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. If your tongue is perfectly in control, then everything else will be in control. And James is looking at us and saying, really? Tongue in perfect control? And we all probably would begin to squirm and feel a bit uncomfortable as James looks at us. James uses these pictures of small things that have a huge impact. James says, can you imagine the little bit that goes into a horse's mouth, this huge horse, this powerful horse, and this small little bit controls that animal? Or imagine an oil tanker, a massive oil tanker, which has this relatively small little rudder on the back of it, and it's that little rudder that steers the oil tanker on its course. That small little rudder affects that huge ship. Or imagine that spark that sets off a wildfire in California. Small spark. Devastation. James says, that's what your tongue's like. It's only a small bit of your body, but boy, can it do harm. Boy, can it have an impact. Can it have a big effect on you and those around you? Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's not just the words. Jesus makes it clear, well, they must come from somewhere. They haven't just appeared out of thin air. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If I was to hold my glass over the back row of the choir here and shake it, well, Houston Brothers would probably get wet underneath it here. They're not even slightly worried, or are they? I don't know. Yeah. When it's shaken, what comes out of it is what it's filled with. Out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. So when you and I are shaken, what spills out? When you and I are shaken, somebody does something, says something, behaves in a way, and we respond. What is it that spills out? Because out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. Now there's a challenge. And so we talk about bite your tongue. Don't say it. Bite your tongue. Count to 10. Count to 10. Fine, as far as it goes, but it doesn't address what's going on in our hearts. We bite our tongues and we hold back those words, but it doesn't address the source. It doesn't address the overflow of our hearts. There's an old saying which has become almost trite and a bit corny, but it is so true, that the problem of the heart is the heart of the problem. The prophet Jeremiah was simply to say, the heart is deceitful above all things, just our hearts. That's where this comes from. It's not just words plucked out of the air. It comes from the overflow of our hearts. So biting your tongue, not going to change that. Counting to 10, it's not going to change that. Those things are like trying to treat the symptoms of a disease without actually treating the disease itself. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we need that change of heart. And we come to the one who is the heart specialist, to Jesus. The one who transforms hard hearts into soft hearts. The one who changes hearts of bitterness into hearts of sweetness. Jesus, when the very worst was happening to him, out of the overflow of his heart, cries, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The psalmist knew what it was to struggle with his heart. And so in Psalm 119, he simply says, I have hidden your words in my heart that I might not sin against you. What your heart is full of is what your heart will overflow with. What your mouth will overflow with. If your heart is full of bitterness, if your heart is harsh, judgmental, critical, then those are the things that will come. When we allow Jesus into our lives to transform our hearts, then the overflow becomes more and more Christ-like. And the overflow of our hearts, spoken by our mouths, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Can you imagine the difference it would make if our hearts were so transformed that the things we said were transformed? If our hearts are so full and so changed by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, then the words which we speak would reflect that. Imagine the difference that would make in our homes, where often we say the harshest things to those that we're closest to. Can you imagine the difference it would make in our workplaces, where sometimes things get tense and difficult, if the words that we spoke were Christ-like? What a difference it would make in this province if the words that we speak of each other and about each other and to each other were words of grace, words to build up, not to tear down, words to heal, not to hurt, words to shape and to mold, not to manipulate. Can you imagine? And it's not just a dream. This is what happens when Jesus has free reign in our lives. This is what happens when, again, as we talked about last week, we simply say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of my thought. Jesus is Lord of my words. Jesus is Lord in my heart. And we're changed. May God give to us the grace to realize what spills out when we're shaken. And then may God graciously transform us to be agents of his grace, and especially so in what we say. The band are going to come up and lead us in a song.